Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
You're in the madhouse now.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members.
VIP stands for very important people, and their small monthly contributions ensure that this podcast remains free for all of you.
If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
I sure do thank you for your support. Now, here's your show.
I tell it to order on the menu, but it doesn't listen.
This week on Dueling Review, Batman Rebirth number 1. Longtime Batman and Eisner Award-winning writer Scott Snyder co-writes with rising star writer Tom King. Evil 365. Gotham City faces the threat of the Calendar Man. So, we're pretty much in agreement that we are getting a Rainbow Batman story in this arc, right?
Boy, I hope so.
I mean, that's what it's all about, right? I mean, Batman brings in one of the Robins from We Are Robin. Or right. Is he the only surviving Robin left after We Are Robin?
I haven't read all of We Are Robin. He's the only cool one.
Yeah, and the first thing that Batman does is says, hey, I don't need another Robin. Here, put on this yellow Batman suit.
He's probably got a cool name like Gold Bat.
I bet it's the Yellow Batman. Or, you know what?
Gold Bat.
The next one will be a green Batman, then a blue Batman, a red Batman, a pink Batman, and they will all form a giant mega Batman.
Taiyo Sentai!
A Bat Zord.
Domano.
The Bat Zord.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, what'd you think of this issue? You didn't like it?
I like the art. I feel like...
Yeah, the art's pretty cool. This is Janin, is that who it is doing the art on this? Michael Janin. M-I-K-E-L Janin. Yeah, the art's pretty cool. The story is pretty generic. I don't know if this is...
It's very much a coming attractions trailer.
Yeah, and that's I think that's kind of... fortunately or unfortunately, I think this is what we're going to get in all of the...
Rebirths
is like, here's kind of an introduction to what this character is about.
Uh-huh.
And so we get this story about a calendar man who is
doing the things a calendar can.
Although I don't remember, remind me, has calendar man always had this power where he ages with the season and then he crawls out of the husk of his own dead body?
Not that I'm aware of.
Because that is probably the strangest
twist. Unless
there's
a new 52 Calendar Man that I don't know about.
Because that is the weirdest twist in all of this, is that the Calendar Man, for some reason, is trying to speed up the seasons in Gotham so that his body will age.
Yes.
And then at the end of winter, as spring is coming about, his dead husk, what was that X-Files episode where the guy crawls out of his own body?
Jose Chung's From Outer Space?
I don't know if it was that one or not.
Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose?
No, those are two really good ones that have nothing to do with this. One of the grosser ones. It's one of the, no, it's not Home, but it's one of the grosser ones where, and it's not the Liver Fluke Man, but it's along that same lines where a guy literally crawls out of his own desiccated body and he rises much younger. And so that's weird. So, I don't know. I mean, this is a pretty straightforward story. I mean, there is not a whole lot going on with this stuff.
No.
And I don't know. It's interesting.
I like parts of it. I like the bit where Lucius and Bruce are talking.
Yeah, Batman's hanging off the edge of the...
off the edge of the helicopter.
Wayne Tower, just like in Captain America Civil War. And then at the end, Batman jumps up, or Bruce Wayne jumps up and screams, Hail Hydra.
No.
What did you like about that sequence?
I really liked what it said about Batman. I liked that take on Batman, although it does imply that Lucius knows because Bruce is doing something pretty damn well superhuman.
No, he's just doing pull-ups in a most dangerous way.
He's doing pull-ups 37 stories above the street.
Oh, do we know it's 37 stories? I think it's a little bit higher than that.
I'm guesstimating. It looks like 37 stories. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Anyway, he's doing pull-ups above the street.
But I mean, Lucius knows that Batman or that Bruce Wayne does some pretty crazy things, like goes and gets skiing accidents and gets himself banged up, and that's how come he's always got these cuts.
Dies and clones himself and loses his memory.
The Lucius Fox thing, I don't know if this is a movie Batman thing or, you know, an animated series Batman thing. Because remember, Lucius Fox in the animated series actually builds the Batmobile and works on the Batmobile.
I remember Lucius Fox helping Wayne to buy all of his gear in the first Christopher Nolan movie.
Yeah, I think maybe it's implied. And also, Lucius has a daughter that started running around with, was it Tim? I think it was Tim.
Tim sounds right.
And this may have been before Rebirth.
It was.
And so they had a thing going, and so he may have found out some things there. The weird thing about Batman prior to New 52, or when the New 52 took off, was they didn't rewrite his continuity. They just kind of started moseying along with stuff.
They definitely made changes, but they made them in such a way that they were introduced as part of an ongoing storyline, which wrapped back around into, well, Morrison's work, RIP and Batman Incorporated and like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Basically wrapped back to some of that stuff that we'd seen as early as 2009.
Batman looks pretty good hanging from the edge of that tower doing his pull-ups.
He does. That's one pretty good, tasty looking Batman.
You know, and that's one thing that is nice. And I wish they would kind of address maybe a little bit more. Is that this is a good nude male, right? Yeah. Unfortunately, when you put on clothes, you're not going to get those that definition.
Right.
And I wish they would address that some way.
Well, they used to do it in comics, but that's before everybody had to put on a costume that made him look like Chilly Willy's little armored stove that he used to cross the Arctic.
Because I think that looks good when you have a costume that looks like it's a costume, like when Grant Morrison was doing the Superman thing,
right?
And he was wearing t-shirt and jeans, and it just looked like someone wearing clothes instead of some ripped dude. Right. You know, Under Armour covers up a lot of your six pack. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Not that we know anything about Under Armour or six packs.
Oh, my son's telling me all the time, look, Dad, I got a six pack. And he kind of does. So he's got that going for him. What else did you like?
I got a 12 pack.
What else did you like? You've got more like a party keg.
You know, it's a thing. One of those party bubbles that they used to have.
Yeah, pony kegs. That's what
I like the introduction of Duke from We Are Robin into core Batman mythos.
I wish that's the thing that I had the most problem with, because I was like, now who's this guy again? Oh, I think he is from the We Are Robin thing, but how come Alfred's not recognizing him? Because wasn't Alfred running the whole the We Are Robin team?
Alfred was behind the whole thing.
Okay.
And I don't think that Alfred didn't recognize him, because it looks as though, the way I read it, is Alfred is surprised to see him showing up and taking the offer. But
I just wish there was something there that said, hey, everybody, this is Duke from We Are Robin or something. You know, just one thing that I wish they would bring back, if they're trying to bring back the greatness of the 70s. We're seeing that in the logo. We're seeing that with maybe a little bit of that Sandman Superman. We're seeing it a little bit with, I don't know what year the Rainbow Superman story came out, or the Rainbow Batman story came out.
1952.
Was it really? But I kind of wish we would see the return of editor boxes.
Right. Caption notes going, Luke was first seen in We Are Robin number 0.
I don't know about you when you're trying to memorize your comic book nerdery. But, you know, those kinds of things pop up, and that's something that you could store away and say, oh, yeah, that's a little bit of trivia that I can whip out the next time that we're talking about stuff, or to help educate readers.
I am a bad example because I don't try to memorize comic book nerdery. It just sort of happens. But, you know, that's kind of the way my brain works. Yeah. I feel like yes and no, because, you know, there are a number of things that I miss. I miss thought bubbles.
Yeah.
But those have been entirely overrun with caption narration. And, you know, I kind of miss the expectation that word balloons interact with one another.
Right.
to where people have a conversation back and forth, and that the word balloons are you know, part of that conversation. But that's really a different side of the craft. You know, I feel like I can live with it. But I also feel like, yeah, there is a lack of attention to, hey, what about the people who haven't been reading? What about the people who've never seen this before?
Right. And that's what I'm getting at. I mean, they do have a nice conversation where Duke is like, hey, man, I don't want to be Robin. And I don't think Luke, Robin needs a sidekick. And then Batman's like, you will be the yellow Batman. Because, Grant Morrison did that
I'm not looking for a Robin.
Grant Morrison did that whole Batman of Many Nations thing, which was a big success in hindsight.
The Club of Heroes.
Yeah, the Club of Heroes. So I don't know why they can't be subtly indicating the Rainbow Batman story here.
Well, he actually revived that concept from the 40s.
Yeah.
Because that also came out in
1940. Right, you're talking the Batman of Many Nations.
The Batman, the Club of Heroes, the Batman of Many Nations, dates back to like the 1940s or 50s.
Yeah.
I was kind of like that, and I feel like even if Duke has, some name like Ogun Bato, which is, Golden Bat. He's a seer from the 30s. He had to be there. It's a thing. If he has a cool name of his own, or if he's just Yeller Bat, either way, I kind of like the take. I like the look of the costume. I like the idea that it's
uniform.
Not. Yeah. And, well, all Batman characters wear motorcycle uniforms now. Everybody has these leather outfits that are covered in, like, threads and designs and little lines through them to make them run faster.
I believe the word you're looking for is piping.
Seams.
Piping.
Seams. No, piping is how hot your food is. It's piping hot.
No. I guess I like the yellow Batman costume. I think that looks kind of cool. I don't know if Batman Inc. is still a thing now.
Batman.
Yeah, I don't know if that's still a thing, but it seems like that may somehow tie into it in the future. I like the conversations that Bruce and Duke have as they're kicking a tree because, the tree is attacking and the tree has done so much harm to Bruce's parents that Bruce has to take his anger out on them.
You attack a tree, it tests your kick and your ability to not die.
Uh-huh. I guess I like Alfred feeding the bats avocados.
I don't know what that's all about.
What that's about either, except that, like the closing panel, like there are many Batmen, or we will get many Batmans in Gotham. I think maybe that's what that final panel is referencing. All the bats, there will be lots of bats coming, which is okay with me. I mean, I don't mind more than one bat. Oh, it's Tuesday.
Well, there's going to be like four Supermans.
It's Tuesday. It's regular Batman night. Oh, wait. Maybe we should wait till Friday when Green Batman comes out or whatever.
Tuesday is Taco Batman night.
What is the Gotham Knight or whatever the guy is? That's
Salsa
coming up?
Verde Batman.
No. What's the new Batman and Girl Cape Crusaders that are in Gotham? We talked about this last week.
Gotham and his sidekick, something else.
Night-night,
yes, it's night-night.
The whole thing that I don't like about, I mean, this really kind of has a vibe, this whole story kind of has a vibe of, look how awesome Batman is, look at all the wondrous things that he can do.
Right.
But they're using a villain that, I don't think they're using the villain correctly. I mean, I understand the gimmick of every day is going to be a different season, but how the heck does Calendar Man, invent a giant weather machine and put it in the bottom of Gotham Harbor without anybody noticing?
Well, Calendar Man was never a big dummy, theoretically.
No, but he's not. But he's also not somebody that has the infinite funds to do these kinds of things.
So who's behind it?
Right. So
the
last I
remember seeing Calendar Man was in the Channel 52 shorts with Ambush Bug.
Yeah.
In the back of the early New 52 stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just a weird, to me, it was a weird character to use. It was an odd tale to make him the villain for this story. I mean, I could really see doing this? Poison Ivy. Mm. But Poison Ivy, maybe she's good now. I don't know. Following Convergence, it's hard to tell. But I could see Poison Ivy doing this because this is the whole thing about these spores that are getting loose in Gotham that will kill everybody. And Batman has to stop it.
Maybe they're trying to branch out.
Speaking of branches.
Maybe they're trying to branch out from having the same nine guys. I mean, yeah, it can't be all Joker, Poison Ivy, Penguin, Black Mask.
Yeah. Black Mask hasn't been around forever, has he?
Yeah, he was just around.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Speaking of branches, the tree doesn't look that great.
The tree.
Doesn't look like great in that last two pages.
Well, Batman's been kicking it.
Well, yeah. All right.
You ever been kicked by a Batman?
No, I've been kicked by a tree before.
So what you're saying is you don't believe the structure of that tree is sound.
No, I don't. I think the trunk is too narrow for those big ass branches that are coming off of it.
Well, I'll give him the tree because the Batman looks amazing.
Yeah, it does.
The Bat Cave looks amazing.
Yep.
I like the fact that Batman kind of looks like Greg from Dharma and Greg. The shot of hanging from the top of Wayne Tower looks amazing.
Yeah, that's just an incredible sequence. And the sweat dripping off and everything just looks really, really good. And I imagine that there will be many people cutting out that one panel out with their computer or whatever and making that their avatar on their phone or their wallpaper on their desktop or whatever.
Of Batman hanging from the thing.
Of Batman hanging from the helicopter landing pad. It's good. It really is good. I mean, the art is good. All the body design is spot on for all the characters. It doesn't feel like we're seeing a carbon copy of generic superhero body one, generic person of color number two kind of thing
this
going
on. This is clearly superhero body four.
Yeah. I mean, although the Allosaurus is a little bit odd in Batman's cave, but... yeah, it works. The art is good.
Tyrannosaurus, is it not?
I don't know. I don't think the Tyrannosaurus has that frill on top of its head. I think that's an Allosaurus.
Well, historically, it's been a Tyrannosaurus.
I know.
Maybe the new 52 is actually a feathered serpent.
Maybe.
It's a Quetzalcoatl.
Maybe. We never will know.
Well, I won't because I don't read Batman.
Oh, so this hasn't gotten you. This hasn't jump started your gun to read some Batman.
Not really. I mean, it's a lovely issue. Don't get me wrong, but the thing about Batman is, once you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound. And as soon as I start reading this, then they'll cross over, and I'll have to pick up All Star Batman and Legends of the Batman and Detective Comics.
That's the other thing that I hope that they. I mean, that is really a good sales gimmick. When they do that, but that's something that I hope that they don't do, because at one time your Legends of Batman, Legends of the Dark Knight was its own thing, and Shadow of the Bat was its own thing, and Batman and Detective may cross over, but Detective were detective stories, Batman were super adventure stories. I'm kind of hoping that they learn their lesson. I think they tried to do it with the new 52 when they had that horror Batman thing that was going on. Mm-hmm. In whatever series that was. And then Detective Comics, I don't know what they were doing with that, but I dropped it after the second issue and have not read Detective since the new 52's second issue started.
I picked up an issue of Detective a few months ago, which was a Jock and Ed Brubaker joint.
Yeah.
It wasn't terrible, but
they kept their stories separate, and they didn't have to have massive crossovers running between, whole Dark Knight Falls and Dark Knight Rises kind of stuff.
Those went into Legends of the Dark Knight.
I know, and they ran, and that's so what I think ruined Legends of the, what ruined Legends of the Dark Knight for me, is because it's these stories don't belong in that. So maybe that will be something else that we learn from this. What's the bottom line for you on this? Is this a pick up and read book? Is this a skip it book? Is this a good introduction for people who are like, hey, DC Rebirth, let me get in on this action?
I would say that it's a good introduction for Rebirth. It's not a story with a satisfying resolution. So it's definitely an open-ended thing. Here's some questions we hope to ask, and a Batman that we're going to show you, and the new status quo that you're going to be dealing with. And I think as that movie trailer, it works. But I think that it's not necessarily something that causes me to immediately go, well, I'm going to revise my whole thing about Batman and jump on board.
Mm-hmm.
This is very much, I think, of a piece with the stuff that we've seen from the 50 issues of the Scott Snyder run, which don't get me wrong, quality stuff.
Oh yeah. That was fun. That was really fun.
A different artist. Yeah. This is something that's going to follow that well.
Yeah.
Why do you call it a bunny? It didn't.
Because everybody
bunny.
Else. That's what everybody else called it because of the way that
moth
ears.
Ears. Oh, if everybody else jumped off a bat bridge, would you jump off a bat?
I don't know.
Bridge?
Is Batman there? Am I trying to impress him?
Yes.
Will Superman save me? Then maybe
he wants you to be the pink bat. So
oh,
that you can
yes. I want to be. I will form the head then. Yes, Matthew.
No, the Pink Ranger never forms the head. The Pink Ranger is the left leg.
Yeah, well, not in this Batman universe. It's not. I think this is a good issue. I would probably recommend it. It's probably not the best Batman story that you will ever read, but I think for people trying to figure out what Batman's all about, I think this is a good start.
It's a solid bat primer sort of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah. It does have Martha and Thomas's gravestone in the issue.
Right.
But we don't have to sit through the entire, my parents are dead.
When
I was 10, I fell down a well and discovered the Bat Cave, and I've vowed vengeance ever since. Doesn't have any of that stuff. It's a Batman story. He's fighting a criminal, a mastermind criminal. And so I think if you're looking at it that way, I think it's good. And so I would recommend it from that way. I myself, as a Batman fan, I'm a little odded out about Calendar Man and his powers. And a little disappointed that they don't fully explain Duke to new readers. And this is definitely an issue where a lot of new people will be jumping on board. And I think some of them are going to be scratching their head going, so is this guy Robin or not Robin?
Not Robin. They clearly say he's not Robin.
Yeah.
You're not Robin. You are the Golden
you
Bat.
You are the Yellow Ranger.
You are the Yellow Ranger.
You are number one bat.
I will fight you.
Dark Horse Comics next week.
Physically fight you.
We have Abe Sapien number 34, Harbor County number 13, House of Penance number 3. Oh, I thought this book was called The Lone Corgi and Cub, but that's New Lone Wolf and Cub. what's a corgi doing in this book? Let's see. Oh, Prometheus Life and Death number 1 comes out. That is the Aliens Prometheus tie-in series that
that's the Dark prequel to the prequel from Aliens?
Yes, it is. Actually, it is.
It's actually, the pre-prequel.
It's the pre-prequel.
It's actually the NyQuil.
Yes. DC Comics has Action Comics 957. Adventures of Supergirl number 3. Yes. Returning to the old numbering. Aquaman Rebirth number 1. Black Canary number 12. Dark and Bloody number 5. That's a mature reader's book. That is a Vertigo book, so it will not fall under the holding the line at $2.99 because it is a $3.99 book.
Hold the line.
Flash Rebirth number 1, which is going to have a lot of people who organize comics confused. But yes, we will get Flash.
I think it's Flash Rebirth Volume 2.
I don't know if it's Volume 2, but I think it's technically titled DC Universe Flash Rebirth number 2. Oh, number 1 is, I think, technically how it's titled.
I have to check with the indicia.
Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Number 70.
Orca,
comes out next week. And also Wacky Raceland number 1. That is written by the guy who wrote the
Mad Max Fury Road
movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also Wonder Woman Rebirth comes out next week, and I may have already read that issue. I may have already read that issue. IDW Publishing has Brutal Nature number 2, Donald Duck number 14, Max Maximize number 32. Sounds like some rich, snotty, snooty guy. Hello, I'm Max Maximize.
I'm Max Maximize. How are you? And then we turn and face Fort Knox.
Star Trek Ongoing number 58 and TMNT Bebop and Rocksteady Destroy Everything number 2. Number 1 came out this week. Number 2 next week. Also, this weekend is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie?
Could be.
I think it is. Image Comics has Birthright number 16. No way will that confuse people.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, you remember how when DC was doing Identity Crisis, and then Marvel came out with what was that?
Identity Disc.
Identity Disc, yeah. I'm just saying, you've got Rebirth going on, and then you've got Birthright going on. Somebody's going to be confused.
Birthright's been going on for 16 issues.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that some new person walking into the store isn't going to see that and think that, oh, yeah, okay. Invisible Republic number 10.
It's a Breathright?
Yeah.
I could get one of those.
Midnight of the Soul number 1. That's a mature reader's book. Think Tank Creative Destruction number 3. Wicked and Divine number 20.
Ooh.
Mature reader's book. Those are 350 books. A lot of the Image Comic books are 350. Is it really getting good?
Yeah, well, the second arc was called Commercial Suicide, and it was kind of a slowed down, in you know, in-depth character bit and lots mm-hmm. and lots of, you know, introspection.
Mm-hmm.
This latest arc is all boom, smash, crash, bang. Ah, oh, okay. Explosions, and then you fight.
Ah, okay. Cool. Marvel Comics, Civil War 2, number 1, came out this week. So that means Civil War 2, Amazing Spider-Man, number 1, Gods of War, number 1, and I think those are the only two spin-out books coming out next week. Daredevil, number 8, Darth Vader, number 21. Is that the final issue, or is it 24 that's the final
25
issue?
25 is the final
issue. Oh, 25 issue. Is the final issue? Okay. Doctor Strange poster from Alex Ross comes out. Guardians of the Galaxy, number 9, Howard the Duck, number 8. Marvel Universe Guardians of the Galaxy, number 9.
That's different.
Yes, it is. They're actually two different. I think the Marvel Universe books are kind of kid-friendly-ish books,
mm-hmm.
whereas Guardians of the Galaxy has Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde constantly fighting over who's going to bring home dinner. Pretty sure.
I don't know that's how that goes.
Star Wars Poe Dameron, number 3.
Star Wars, nothing.
I wonder how long it's going to take people to realize that Apocalypse in the X-Men Apocalypse movie is the same guy that played Poe Dameron in the Star Wars movie.
Well, I already knew it. I haven't actually
a lot of people probably don't. Timely Comics Daredevil, number 1. Doctor Strange, number 1. Drax, number 1. All come out next week. Those are all $3 comics. Which I believe the Timely Comics, the way they are, is they're essentially three issues put together.
Oh.
And that's why it's a $3 price instead of a $1 price.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I guess. In all the rest category, 4001 AD Bloodshot, number 1, comes out from Valiant.
Bloodshot.
Archie Comics Double Jot Digest 269.
If you see a faded sign at the side of the road, it goes 16 miles to the bloodshot.
Big Trouble in Little China, number 25. The final issue for that arrives next week.
Wow.
That
is
from Boom Studios.
Really 2 years old?
Yeah. It's been going strong. Wow. It's going to be interesting to see that end. Classic Illustrated has Alice in Wonderland, Hamlet, Hunchback of Notre Dame, Ivanhoe, Jungle Book, Kidnapped, Knights of the Round Table, Last Days of Pompeii, Man in the Iron Mask, and Wuthering Heights all coming out next week. All of those are $9.95 books. Man, I just can't believe that those books are constantly in reprint.
It's probably a good idea.
Probably is, I suppose. It's interesting, though, that it's like, this is the 529th reprinting of Hunchback of Notre Dame from Classic Illustrated. It'd be interesting if they just, because you know they have to be bringing in the money on that. It's all profit after the printing. It'd be interesting if they were like, hey, here's Classics Illustrated. Let's get some other artist to draw these up for a change. And then we would have another 50 years of Classics Illustrated that we can ship out on people.
Well, historically, they sell them to schools and book clubs and things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's still a thing anymore. Book I don't
clubs,
know if these
I
are
think
the
book
originals.
Clubs are the same.
The original Gilberton classics date back to 1948.
That's why I'm betting that they are exactly the same.
Well, they can't be exactly the same because there's like 35 different printing variants of each one. But
well, but I mean, it's going to be the same art. It's not going to be the new artist or anything like that. Let's see, what else is coming out next week? Divinity 2, number 1, that's a second printing from Valiant Entertainment. Dread Dust, number 1, I'm guessing that's a Judge Dredd title.
Dread Dust.
Grant Morrison's 18 Days, number 12. Heroes Vengeance trade paperback. Invader Zim, number 10, I believe that is from Oni Press. King's Quest, number 2. If you go all the way to the right, you will eventually hit the ocean, and then you catch the fish and you give him back, put him back in the water. And then the fish will ferry you across the ocean to the next kingdom. It's a little helpful hint there for those of you playing King's Quest.
All right.
And there was a funny thing where you had to dance around a mushroom a certain way in order to get into the secret mushroom area. Such a long time ago. It's like you had to move just right to go into the... it's so hard. It's so long.
And my
ago.
Club is going to be called the Secret Mushroom Area.
Yeah, there you go. Lumberjanes Gotham Academy number 1 comes out next week. That'll be a fun one. That will be a fun one. Pink Panther number 1 comes out. Secret Voice number 1. Sherlock, A Study in Pink. That is the manga version of Sherlock Holmes featuring the likenesses of the current BBC Sherlock Holmes actors.
With Cummerbund Bindersnatch and Mowgli.
Bilbo Baggins, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Arthur Dent, Bilbo.
Yep. Is he Arthur Dent?
Yeah, he was Arthur Dent in the movie.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I only recognize the TV series, but there you go. Learn something new every day. And then Xena, Warrior Princess number 3, comes out next week. And, of course, we will have a complete list over at majorspoilers.com next week when all the releases come out. Next week on Dueling Review.
Flash Rebirth number 1, spinning directly out of the epic events of DC Universe Rebirth number 1, the fastest man alive finds himself at the center of a DC Universe at a crossroads.
You can show your support for the show and everything we do at Major Spoilers by becoming a very important person at members.majorspoilers.com. Your contribution allows us to keep this show going, pay for our growing costs, and gives us the motivation to produce more content for you each and every week. Thank you so much for checking out Dueling Reviews, and we will talk with you next time when you'll hear Matthew say,
"Hey, who's your favorite comic book artist?"
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.